friends, and welcome to the Co-op Show. I'm one of your hosts, Britt.
And I'm Jason.
And today we're talking about our time dungeon crawling in chainmail bikinis in the re-release of Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance.
Woo!
Specifically, you're the one romping around in a chainmail bikini.
Yeah, and sometimes less than that.
Yeah, welcome to Games from 2001. But we are here to talk about the re-release. So this game released on May 7th, 2021. It is an isometric RPG rated T for teen for blood, use of alcohol, and violence. Developed by Interplay Entertainment, published by Wizards of the Coast for Xbox and PlayStation platforms. So your Xbox Series X, your Xbox Series S, your PS4, your PS5. It's coming to PC later this year. It can come to Switch any day. It was supposed to release day and date for Switch.
This would be a great game on Switch.
I know, right? But there's some issue. But any day now, it'll be coming to Switch. And it supports two-player local co-op, and it is $29.99.
No online co-op?
No online co-op.
All right.
So, yeah, we'll talk about that, because that's kind of a head-scratcher there.
Yeah.
So, the plot overview of this game, I'm trying to get, like, my D&D Dungeon Master voice on.
All right, let's hear it.
You have been the victim of a brutal robbery. That doesn't work. And are drowning your sorrows in a tavern when you are approached with a job offer. This job offer will lead you into the adventure of a lifetime. You'll get into hack and slash combat as you fight frost giants, dragons, and undead. You'll use magic and strategy to stay alive in the most perilous situations. And there are thrilling quests and subquests that await you in an exquisitely rendered 3D universe. There was, like, not an actual plot summary that I could find. That was the best I could find.
That was pretty good.
Was it pretty good? Okay, yeah. Cool. So I thought it'd be kind of fun to talk about the OG. And apparently OG is only what old people say, which is us now. You told me this earlier. Original Baldur's Gate details.
Yeah, I was playing Apex Legends with a buddy of mine, and a younger kid commented when my buddy said OG and said, "Who says that?" Well, apparently old fucks do. So.
Old fucks like us say OG. Yep. I don't care. I'm going to lean into it. So the OG Baldur's Gate details, which, again, this is a re-release with little to no improvements other than everything's just been kind of re-rendered in 4K. But the original game released in 2001, and it was one of my favorite RPGs because it's a dungeon crawler, kind of like, I mean, think of like sort of Diablo, right?
Yep.
And it's available. It was available on PlayStation 2 and Xbox and GameCube and actually Game Boy Advance of all platforms. And what was fun about it was
Game Boy Advance. I'm trying to envision that.
Yeah. I don't know what modifications were made.
Huh.
I'm sure there were some like major, I can't imagine it was the same game.
So how old were you in 2001?
I was 13.
So you were playing this game as a 13-year-old.
I loved it so much. And there weren't that many games that I was aware of back in the day that were so isometric top down, you know, whatever dungeon crawler.
Was Diablo out yet?
It was, yeah. Diablo was out, but the thing is, it was primarily PC. It did come out on PlayStation, I know.
Okay.
PS1 back in the day, but I never had a copy of it.
So, what system were you playing this game on?
There's a gnat in here. I was playing on PlayStation 2. My original copy, actually, I think I can see it right now from where I'm sitting. but no, I loved it so much. And ever since then, like, I've been wanting to replay it, and I think I've brought it up to you several times, but it just never re-released in any real capacity.
Until it, like, stealth released this past week or two, right?
Yeah, just out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And I have so many fun memories with this game. I played with my best friend, Rihanna, back in the day, and we went to Hollywood Video to rent it, and I'll never forget, we just spent all weekend playing this game to the point, I know you've heard this story, where my mom just couldn't fucking handle it anymore. And she, like, came in, and she was like, oh my God, it's disgusting, because you had these two 13-year-old teenagers just, like, festering in this tiny, stuffy room. And so she, like, came in, and she, like, walked in front of her screen, opened a window, and then she made Rihanna and I walk outside and pull weeds for 10 cents a weed. Because she was like, you girls need oxygen. And
10
you girls
cents per weed?
10 cents per weed.
I'm trying to think of how many weeds you could pull in an hour, because that's pretty good for a 13-year-old.
My mom was like, you girls smell so bad. She's like, and you haven't been, like, outside of your bedroom all weekend. Like, get out here and pull some fucking weeds.
Were you just, like wearing diapers in there? So you
were just wearing our gross pajamas.
And just, why, like, were you so stinky? What were you doing?
Because we're two, like, gross puberty going through girls. Like we just festered. Like and the room got so gross. And I still talk about that with my parents today. And they're like, it was the most pathetic thing ever. Seeing us standing out there with these weed poppers, like getting like two weeds in like 20 minutes. so they said, fuck it, and sent us back to my room so we could play more games. And I also watched my grandma play this game back in the day, and like my aunt played it. And so when we found out that this game was randomly getting stealth released, it was an exciting time.
Yeah, you showed it to me, and I was like, dude, I'm down. Like, I love these old school RPGs. For one, I've been in the mood for, you know, like a top down isometric. So
is saying top down isometric repetitive? Anyway, doesn't matter. So let's talk about how you start this game off. You start this game off by selecting your character class.
Yeah, and so...
And you picked the wrong character.
Well, so. I picked a sorceress, which there's three classes. There's like the melee dwarf.
His name is Kromlik.
I didn't know the name.
That's why I do the show notes. I have all this information right here.
All right, then there's the archer hunter.
Vaughn.
And then what's my bitch? The sorceress.
Adriana. The elven sorceress. So you have the dwarven fighter, a human archer, or the elven sorceress.
Okay, so I picked the elven sorceress because I generally play a mage. What I didn't foresee was that I'm playing my mage like an archer. And so now I have, as you put it earlier tonight, I have an archer in a mage's body, which is not good because my dexterity is pretty bad.
Yeah, so. I'm kind of curious. Like, why aren't you using your magic?
Well, there's a couple of reasons, but one is that you just don't get that many skill points in this game. So it's hard. Like, it's hard to actually get magic that you want to use and then level it up so it's good enough to use it. And then two is that it's just really not that good. Like, it's not that powerful compared to the bows and the swords.
Counter argument.
Okay, well, hold on. One more argument is that the mana supply is really, really low, and it's like you quickly burn through your mana unless you're drinking lots of mana potions.
I think you just built your mage incorrectly.
Whoa!
And I say this because I remember you put all of your points into health regen. And why would you do that if you're a mage? You're supposed to be a glass cannon anyway. Like, you're not supposed to be getting hit.
Because the number of points you get is really, really low. And so, for instance, it was going to cost me, like, for instance, 5 points to just level up my damage from 20 to 22.
Okay, so we're getting a little ahead of ourselves here.
Okay.
Okay, so.
I'm trying to defend myself here.
Yeah, just tell me I'm right. I'm very, very pregnant. Just tell me I'm right.
You are very pregnant. You are very pregnant. So.
So to back it up a bit, so you do have these three character classes. And obviously, like in the RPG, you get experience points when you level up. And you get skill points when you level up. And how this works is you reach level 5, you get 5 skill points. You reach level 6, you get 6 skill points. And I don't know what the max is. I want to say it's 40. I could be wrong with that. But like Jason was saying, the problem is that you, like, there's certain skills require 10 points to level up, or 12 points, or 13 points.
Some of mine take 22 just for the first level of a skill.
So either you have to hoard those skill points and just wait for the payoff, but this game is difficult.
You need them.
And so you need them.
You need to deploy them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, and to our knowledge, there's no way to respec.
Yeah, that's what's really cruel about the game. Like, I've got all these points now into this Burning Hands skill, which is like a cone of flame. But I recently just spent like 12 points, which is a lot, to pick up a new skill called Ball Lightning, which is just like a cool bowling ball of lightning that zaps everything in its path. It's cool. But now I've got all these points into Burning Hands, and I have no way to get the points out of them to beef up my Ball Lightning. So it's just sitting there unused. So it's really like harsh.
It's not, yeah, and also one more point about every 4 levels, you can increase your strength, intelligence, wisdom, dexterity, constitution, or charisma. So there is that too, but that's only every 4 levels. So you're primarily going to be worrying about those skills. And like, I get it. I think for me, especially like as a melee dwarven fighter named Kromlik, there's not a lot of really cool melee skills. It's mostly passive buffs that I'm like implementing.
Yeah, like higher crit chance,
higher armor damage. Class, hit points. And granted, like this is based off of D&D, like a certain, I don't know what the whatever it's called.
They've got like versions of D&D.
Yeah,
right?
I don't know what version it is.
Yeah.
I'm not
probably that old considering this game came out in 2001.
Yeah. And because this game is difficult, again, we're playing on normal, so you have easy, normal, and hard. And I don't know how I played this when I was 13. I think we played on easy mode back in the day.
That makes sense.
Because this game is like, dang.
It's pretty hard.
And so, unfortunately for you, you picked the wrong class, but...
but it's kind of too late now.
It's kind of too late, but we have a pretty good strategy.
Well, we do. We're about 8 hours in or so, something like that.
Maybe. Yeah, that sounds right.
I think it's about 8 hours in. Yeah. Out of what? 10, 12 hours?
I mean, the average play time is like 8 to 12. I think it depends on how much you're rushing it. We're playing the game like we want to explore all the nooks and crannies and find all of the things and whatnot. But
Yep.
But yeah, like, so there's some fun strategies that you have to implement in this game if you want to be successful, especially on normal difficulty. And that is, you want to use a shield as much as possible. Oh my
God, shields are OP.
They are. You can literally, unless it's a magic attack, you can shield and block anyone that's attacking you and you won't take any damage. So what happens is I'll try to aggro something and then they'll just attack me and then Jason can just pick them off with his bow.
Yeah, like from behind. Now, I have noticed that if there are groups or swarms of enemies, they will try to flank you though. And if they hit you from behind or from the sides, they will do damage and that really hurts. But anything directly front on, like your shield will block 100% of the damage. It's awesome.
It's pretty cool. I mean, it's a good little strategy.
Yeah.
Another fun strategy, and I guess this leads us into our next like section of the show, is like, what do you do? Like, how do you play this game? What's the point of it? Is the only way to revive your partner if they die is to come across a save pedestal. And granted, like, the developers were very generous with these.
Yeah, there's quite a few of them.
And you walk up to one, and your partner will just, like, manifest out of thin air. But there's no, like, revive potions. There's no way you can bring anyone back. So if you're in the middle of a big horde and you're like, fuck, we're getting our asses kicked, you just play by the little save pedestal. So if I die, which happens a lot, I'll just automatically be revived. Just very helpful.
Yeah, you just got to run back to the nearest one, but yeah.
But what I'm saying is, if you're playing right next to the save pedestal.
Oh, yeah.
If you lure the mob to the save pedestal, you just automatically revive.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
Yeah. So it's a dungeon crawler. You know, you get from point A to point B. There's sprawling paths you can take. Some of them will have treasure on some sides, on some ends. You're going to come across a bunch of enemies. But what's also fun is that this game has platforming. So there's.
Yes.
There's like, you're going to have to jump on platforms, and we failed miserably.
I don't know if I've ever played another like dungeon crawler isometric game like this that had jumping and platforming in it. Like, I can't think of one.
Yeah, I don't remember if Diablo had any. And the last time you played that was so long ago, though.
And there is some fun little platforming sections in this game that really give it a unique little twist and flavor that you and I have had some fun.
Some fun with it. And then there's insta-death rays that you have to like dodge.
Yeah. They're
like BMOs from Ocarina of Time. There's
falling floor tiles.
Fireballs. Yeah, it kind of spices it up, and it's pretty fun. But even that, the core of it is dungeon crawling. Point A to point B. You're going to be in crypts. You're going to be in sewers. You're going to fight rats and skeletons and kobolds and ogres and yetis.
Yep.
And all sorts of that kind of like nerdy shit that we love so much. And along the way, you're going to find treasure chests, and you're going to find loot. Let's talk about loot.
I love loot.
The loot in this game... there's a lot of it. You get it from, again, opening chests. Enemies will often drop a lot of stuff, but it's rare that I found that you will find better gear organically.
Agreed. Very, very rare. You can tell, I think this game really shows its age in a few ways, and one of them is in the loot. Like, the loot is, it's like 99% of the loot you get is only useful for selling so you can get money so you can buy something you actually want. You're not gonna find organic loot drops that are very useful.
Yeah, and so what we've been doing is there's, from the best we know, because I mean, it's been forever since I finished this game, three distinct areas. And each area has its own merchant, and as you progress through the game, the merchants get better gear because they're like better merchants, whatever. Yeah. There's these fun recall potions that you'll want plenty of. And no matter where you are in the dungeon crawl, pause the game, use a recall potion. It'll take you to that little central hub area. There's a merchant. You can sell all of your shit. And then they have like a wide variety of stuff that you can buy, from armor to weapons to potions to rings to amulets, etc. And you're going to want to take all of the loot you find in the dungeon and then sell it to get that stuff.
Yeah.
Because you just don't find, except from the very beginning, you don't find better stuff organically.
Agreed. Yeah, you just got to buy the shit you actually want.
And then you use the recall potion and you go right back to where you were in the dungeon.
Which is pretty great. I really like the way they do it because it's so convenient. No matter where you're at in the dungeon, just pop a recall potion and you're back at a vendor.
I feel like you have to have that mechanic though in this game, because otherwise like you're just never going to get better shit. You know, because I think about a game like Diablo, right? Which is like the masterclass, I think, of this genre. Is you can go into a dungeon with shit stuff, but you'll be able to find better stuff as you progress, so you don't have to go back and sell and get better stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. The loot in this game, you can tell, like I said, it really shows its age in the loot system. It's just not very exciting. You're going to get a lot of it, but it's all going to be crap.
Yeah.
And you're just going to sell it.
But you can sell that shit.
You can sell that shit. Yeah.
Yeah, you can sell that shit.
And it is kind of fun to save up for, like, you got your eye on, you know, for instance, you had your eye on this epic sword that you really wanted. It was like the best sword that the vendor sold.
Yeah.
And then I had my eye on this epic bow. It was the best bow that the vendor sold. And you and I both just saved up, sold us all of our shit. And finally we were able to afford this sword and this bow that we really wanted. And we're still rocking that sword and bow.
Yeah. I think I've had 3 different weapons this whole game.
Yeah. That sounds about right for me too.
And so, yeah, like if you're someone who gets off on loot, like you're gonna get a lot of loot, just not a lot of exciting stuff.
Well, and the thing about the loot is that really the only cool shit about it is, I mean, better loot really just means if it's armor, it's just simply a higher armor number.
Yeah, there's no like,
yeah,
secondary buffs or
no,
anything.
No, yeah, and for weapons,
you know what, that might not be true. I'm thinking about weapons specifically though, because okay, some weapons have fire, some weapons have frost, some weapons have other little symbol, but we don't know whether or not that's more effective against different kinds of enemies.
Yeah, we haven't seen any elemental weaknesses in this game.
Yeah.
We did try it. Remember, we were on the snow level fighting yetis and like ice wolves and shit.
Yeah, with your flaming sword.
I had like, yeah, flaming sword. You're just, we were like, is it even doing more damage? We couldn't really tell.
Yeah. But yeah, so I mean, it's not, again, like super duper loot heavy in the sense that you're not going to get really cool shit, but
yeah,
still, like, you know.
This game is really just more about like dungeon crawling and, gosh, even when you level up, sometimes you won't be able to do anything with your points because it's
well, yeah, I think you're right. Like an example of that is with me, because every time I level up, I usually have like 2 points left over. And it's like, hey, you can put this into your mana regen. I'm like,
yeah,
I don't need no mana.
Yeah, you don't need that.
I think a thing we should talk about and point out is how loot sharing and how gold sharing works in this game.
Yeah.
There is no sharing. It's kind of like a free-for-all.
Yeah, whoever picks it up, picks it up.
But I would say like we're not having really any issues with that.
Well, no, but you can also drop something if it would be useful for your partner.
Yeah. When it comes with the gold, there's no way to split the gold. So if you find that like someone's like, if I'm hoarding all the gold and I have like 20,000 pieces and Jason has like 10, well then maybe I'll stop picking up the gold. Maybe if he's lucky, or, you know, if I pick up certain weapons, I can drop those. So he can sell that to make up for the deficit there.
Exactly. We just kind of like eyeball it.
Yeah. I feel like in modern games like this, you know, it's shared. Because that's such an obstacle when it comes to these kind of games.
Well, because you never know.
You get like different drops.
Nobody wants to be trying to have fun playing a game. And you're arguing over whose turn it is to pick up the loot or the gold. Like, just, you know, I don't know. Not everybody has, I guess, a relationship where they can just say whatever. It's just a fucking video game.
Yeah, that's true. And also, again, like the loot you're really going to be striving for is the stuff the vendors have. So it's more like the loot you do pick up in the game is just basically money that you're going to be selling.
Yep.
So just keep that in mind. You're just going to have some a little bit of trust. A little bit of trust.
Cooperation in your co-op game.
Cooperation. What else? So I guess we can talk about how this game looks, because this game came out in 2001.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say it looks like a 2001 game that got like a resolution makeover.
That's the only real buff that this game got, is it got 4K textures.
Yeah.
The good news about that is when it's an isometric like this, I feel like the game looks fine. I feel like it looks good. I mean, I don't think it looks ugly, and maybe that's just my, rose-colored goggles, rose-tinted,
yeah,
whatever the fuck, glasses.
You can still see all the polygons, though. I mean, it's a very blocky, triangular-y game when you're looking at the character models up close. I mean, it definitely looks like an old game, but with high-res textures, and that's pretty much it.
But that's okay, because, again, in an isometric like this, it's not like it's graphic intense anyway.
I think it
looks fine. Like, don't be turned off by that, but...
Well, that for me, that sort of thing is actually nostalgic. Like,
right.
I think that's cool, you know, when you see that old school look and feel. And the soundtrack is also really old school, too.
It's very atmospheric.
Yes,
it actually reminds me of something that you would hear in, like, a Resident Evil game. When you're, like, walking through Raccoon City.
Agreed. I agree. Yeah. It's very moody atmosphere.
But, I mean, it is kind of unfortunate that they didn't implement certain things, like online co-op comes to mind. Like, it's too bad. And granted, like, I get it. Like, that's... You don't just snap your fingers and all of a sudden you have online co-op. That requires a team. That requires a lot of man hours. That requires a lot of testing. And I think because this game was just more or less stealth release, and I think if you look at the upcoming Dark Alliance game that's coming out next month. You look at Baldur's Gate 3 that's coming out at some point. Hopefully, I don't think it's coming out this year. You know, I think it's great that they brought it back, but it was probably more of a like, hey, like, don't forget this game existed. We have these other games coming out related.
Yeah. Do you think that they put it out just to sort of say, okay, the big remake of this game is coming out in like a month or so? You know, so
it's not a remake, to be clear.
Oh, it isn't?
No. It's a spiritual.
But it's got the same name.
So it's called Dungeons & Dragons Dark Alliance.
What's this one called?
This is Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance. Oh. Granted, both like, you know, obviously like very, very similar, okay, same family and everything. But the Dark Alliance game is a spiritual successor. It's more.
Got
of,
it.
Yeah.
So this is sort of like an appetizer for those who are looking forward to that one. Is that what this is kind of?
I mean, sure. Yeah. And I think the thing too is this game is just like really well known and it's kind of a collector's edition, a collector's item for a lot of people. And people have just been jonesing for it for a while.
So, okay. You and I have played a lot of old school games like this and a lot of new school games. By new school standards, this game would not hold up. And there's a lot of reasons why, I think, you know, like the loot and the pacing, the leveling system, it's just not very fun compared to what we have nowadays.
I don't know if I can answer that because I'm having a lot of fun with it. I think the sticking point for a lot of people would probably be the price point, because I think in this day and age, when you pay $30 for something like this, you expect obviously a better looking game. Maybe you maybe expect some better online infrastructure. The bugs have been mostly fixed from what you and I have seen. But I think if like a little indie studio like released this game, I think we would have a lot of fun with it. And I don't think we would say it doesn't hold up.
I'm definitely having fun with it. So I'm trying to separate my level of fun with it. And I'm trying to put on like critic glasses and sort of saying like, this game, how does it hold up to like a Diablo 3 in terms of...
Okay, yeah, you can't compare anything to Diablo.
No, but it's pretty simple stuff that I'm talking about. It's like, just look at the loot. In Diablo, loot is fun, it's varied, it's useful. In this game, as we've talked about, it's really only useful for selling. Other things like leveling up in Diablo, like there's a whole bunch more skills you can get. There's way more customization you can do. In this game, you get one attribute point per four levels, which has only happened like three times in the last 8 hours.
I don't know though what D&D rules these are all based off of.
Oh, so you're saying this might
maybe
be limited
like by... I might be talking out my ass right now, but I think if you look what kind of game Diablo is, which is like how long did it take it to beat Diablo 3?
Yeah.
I mean versus
probably like 20.
Versus like an 8 to 12 hour game.
Yeah.
They're different. I mean, I think both of these games can exist in this isometric world. That doesn't mean that they have to, like this game from 2001 doesn't have to do what Diablo did in 2017 or 2014 or 15. Or I don't remember what year that
I think
out.
The point that I was trying to get to was it for somebody who's only played like the more of the new school stuff, like the recent games, and I'm using Diablo as an example because it's just the most well-known, most available. Are they going to play this game, you think, and have a lot of fun with it? Because for you, you've got the nostalgia aspect.
Right.
And for me, I didn't play it when I was 13 or 15 when, you know, like you did, but I have a soft spot for these types of nostalgic games from that era because I was playing games like this in that era, just not this exact game. So it also gives me a nostalgic feel because I did play that sort of thing. So what about somebody who's maybe a little younger and they're more used to the current stuff? Would they like this? Would they enjoy this game? Like that's sort of where I'm trying to get to.
I mean, again, like maybe I can't answer that. I think it's a really fun game through and through. I'm really enjoying it. Sure, it's not perfect, but I never had expectations for it to get anywhere near like what you used to call like the Diablo factor. Sure. Like you just can't have those expectations. It's like you can't envision every game you're ever going to play to be the masterpiece that is God of War or Tilu, right? Like it's just...
We can all hope.
Not everyone is a AAA studio that has like a $500 million budget, right? And this game clearly didn't have like the budget back in the day. But I mean, I guess it's some food for thought. I mean, yeah.
Just throwing it out there to see what you thought. Like, I guess I was trying to say how much of our enjoyment is from nostalgia. And for somebody who comes into this without nostalgia, will they lose a critical component that we have? That's sort of the angle I'm trying to come at.
I don't know. I can't speak because obviously I have the nostalgia, right? It's hard to say.
If you're listening and you haven't played some of these old school games, maybe you could help us answer this question. Tweet us.
Yeah. There you go. Tweet us. There are some points I really want to cover though, before we're getting there. We're already at the 27 minute mark. There's no grinding in this game. So what I mean by that is it's not like you can rerun the levels over and over again to level up. Because like I said, this game is pretty difficult and you're going to find yourself dying a lot, running back to save pedestals a lot. Good news is you can save as often as you want when you're by a save pedestal, except for if you're in a boss fight. So you just kind of have to get good. That's kind of like all there really is to it. It's not like you can be like, oh, I'm so underleveled, I need to go grind. You can't.
Yeah, so there's, from what it looks like to me, there is a set number of enemies throughout the game. And once you kill an enemy, it is permadead.
Yeah, right? It's permadead.
You can't go back and grind.
There is a way to cheese the system, though.
Really?
Yeah. And I was looking this up. So this comes from a poster online to get to like max level real quick. Quote, all you have to do is save the game before a boss fight. Kill the boss and save the game on a different file. Then you load the save game just before the boss fight and import your character from the saved game who killed the boss. When you killed that boss, save over the previous file who killed the boss.
Huh.
So basically, because you can import your characters...
I see. I didn't know you could import your characters.
You can import characters. Okay. So basically, yeah, you can just like cheese the boss the whole time.
I gotcha.
But like, you're not. It's not meant to play that way,
dude. Speaking of bosses, that first boss,
yeah,
was OP. But then we've fought two bosses or two or three since then, and they weren't anywhere near as hard as like literally the first boss.
Yeah.
The fuck?
Yeah, I remember that first boss when we came across it. It's an orb. I was like, oh, I have a bad feeling about this. Yeah. And then I remembered how difficult it was.
We were struggling with it.
We were. And then I remember at one point, you were dead and there was no way to revive you because I can't get to a save pedestal during the boss fight. So I just ran around in circles for like 30 minutes, but eventually whittled it down.
One little axe hit here and then you run and little hit and runs. But yeah, you eventually did it. I just Googled, like, I was like, yo, is there something we're missing for how to kill this boss? And I just found thread after thread of people saying the exact same thing. Like, what the fuck? We can't get past this boss. Why is it so hard? Yeah. So,
it's
FYI.
It's true. Just run around in circles.
And run and shoot and then keep running. Yeah. That's our advice for the first boss.
I would say that's a good one. There were some bugs that we came across that were kind of fun, but they have been mostly fixed. There were some weird issues on Xbox with co-op, but I think that's been fixed.
Oh, the audio would cut out.
The audio would cut out. All of the NPCs in town would just walk in circles.
That was fun, though.
I was so unexpected. I've never seen that before. Where we just walk out into Baldur's Gate and everyone's just chilling, walking in circles. Yeah, but that's been fixed.
Yep.
Mostly.
Like small, tight little circles.
Yeah.
Like,
it was pretty silly. And just a heads up, you know, this game is from 2001. So it's the kind of game where your female character will wear chainmail bikini armor. and there's a lot of
that.
There's a lot of boob physics. And if you take off all of your clothes, she's wearing a thong and like some weird top. So, I mean, like, and even like the NPCs, like we came across a boss. She was like a dark elf.
Oh, my God.
And she's like wearing like a banana hammock. And she's like talking, she's trying to be all menacing, but she's like rubbing her like tits,
oh,
and, like
yeah,
her legs and
she's
her badge.
All sexual.
And I'm like, what, why? But then again, like a victim of 2001, those were the things that you did back then.
We were like, what the fuck? Like this is.
She's like, you will die. Let me rub my vagina. It's like, oh, so terrifying.
She's like twirling her nipples and shit. Yeah. And we're like, okay, what the fuck?
Yeah. So, I mean, like, it's nothing gross. There's no nudity or anything, but just like, you know, again, have the expectation that it's game of its time. And actually, recently, the developer said that Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance 2 is, quote, on the table. So maybe we'll get that one, too. I mean, at some point. Which I think would be great.
20 years later?
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
I think that'd be great. I mean, I'm down for it.
Give me all the dungeon crawler isometric games. I'm in.
They're just so chill and relaxed. So
they are. They're such great co-op games.
So I guess, like, to wrap it up, I mean... You did bring up a good point earlier. I'm trying to separate myself like from the fan who's been wanting this game for 20 years now to play it again. I think it's a really fun game. I think it's a fun dungeon crawler. I think, you know, there are some quirks about it that you just kind of have to learn to play around. You know, you're going to have to use the recall potions a lot. You can only revive your partner if you come up to a save pedestal. There's not really any big sprawling towns. It's mostly about the dungeon crawling in the crypts, the sewers. There's a marsh. There's a forest. There's like an ice level.
Mountaintop.
Lots of loot, but not a lot of like good and exciting loot, but still like loot. And yeah, like I'm having a lot of fun with it, but I think you did raise a good point of like maybe if you don't have the nostalgia, it might not be as fun. But maybe, I mean, I don't know.
That's what I was trying to, I'm trying to separate myself because I do feel like nostalgia is a part of this. I think part of the reason I'm getting enjoyment so much enjoyment out of it, and I am having a lot of fun, is because I just feel that sense of nostalgia. And so if I take that out, if I cut that out entirely, would I still be having so much fun? I don't know. I can't really say. But I do think that at this point I would recommend this game to anybody as long as you do like this kind of game. Mm-hmm. You know, if you know that you like dungeon crawlers, go for it. It's fun. And if you grew up at a time, you know, when this game came out and this game gives you the warm and fuzzies, I think that's just it's just a bonus. You'll like it even more.
Yeah. And I would also say, like, if you're playing with someone who maybe isn't super, I mean, I don't know, this game isn't challenging. It's not difficult in terms of how you play it.
Yeah.
We're playing on PlayStation. You press X to slash, you push RT to block.
Yep.
You have your skills with the D-pad. It's easy to maneuver around, but just maybe consider bumping it down to easy if you want more of like a chill experience. Yeah,
that's a good point. We're on normal and we're like really experienced with these kinds of games, and it's not hard, but it would not be good.
There's no
for
dodge.
A
like, yeah, it's yeah. Just kind of, it is what it is. Like, it's kind of an ass kicker.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's any way to go back and lower the difficulty. I don't think there is. So I would just say, like, be aware of that. Maybe start it on easy, and if you find like, oh, this is way too easy, you can bump it up. But
yeah, and don't make my mistake and pick a sorceress and then play her like an archer because she's very gimped. Yeah. She has very low dexterity, and that's not good for an archer.
No. Well.
But we're making it through.
We're making it work. All right. Well, any other parting thoughts? I think we've kind of covered.
I'd say give it a go and see if you like it. We're having a ton of fun. I'm excited to play more, hopefully tonight, you know? And it's just a really good break from all the modern stuff. It gives you the warm and fuzzies and the nostalgias, and I love it.
Yeah.
I'm having a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, it's just as fun as I remember, if not a little bit more. So
sweet.
And again, that's
it's because you're playing with me this time.
I don't know. Rihanna was a really good co-op partner.
Well, wait a minute. What class did Rihanna play?
I have no fucking I can't remember.
Were you a melee at that time?
Of course I was a melee.
So you've always been
I've always been a melee. I don't remember. I feel like she was Adriana, but
she was probably not this like weird hybrid sorceress archer that I'm playing.
Thank you so much for listening to the co-op show this week, ladies and gentlemen. We appreciate your ear holes taking the time to listen to our rambling about video games. If you are listening to the show on May 15th, well, I guess today's the 14th, 2021. Again, heads up, I am 40 weeks pregnant. So there is a good chance that there might not be a show next week. But we will see. We will do our very best. If you're listening to the show at any other point in time, then don't worry about it.
Yeah.
There's probably another show waiting for you right after this one.
There will be more.
If you want to get in touch, you can email us at contact@coopshow.com. You can head to coopshow.com for a fun little archive of all of our episodes. Or you can find me on Twitter at BlondeNerd. You can find Jason at Jason Demers. And we will hopefully see you next week.
Later.
Bye. We'll be right back.